Well, good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. We've made it, 2016. Good morning, everyone. My name is Cameron, and I'm one of the pastors on staff here at Mission Creek. And it's my privilege to bring God's message to us this morning. And so our lead pastor, Pastor Keith, he's away. He's just been on some holidays. He's coming back today or tomorrow. And so my role on staff is associate pastor, which means I get to fill in when Keith goes away and do a number of other things around the church. And one of my big parts of my job, one of my big areas of my job description is spiritual formation. It's how people grow in Christ. It's helping people grow in Jesus. It's putting things in place so that we can grow to maturity in Jesus. And so this morning, I want to just start kicking off January by just kind of recapping what is our focus here at Mission Creek Alliance Church. So I have a trivia question here, and if you've been at Mission Creek for some time, you might know the answer. So if you know the answer, I just wanted you to shout it out. Last September, Pastor Keith, he was preaching through our focus here at Mission Creek Alliance Church. Does anybody remember what that simple phrase is? It's one sentence. Anyone remember? Oh no. Oh no, Pastor Keith. We got some work to do. That's all right. There's a clue. It's probably in your bulletin, but I'll give it to you. Our focus at Mission Creek Alliance Church is to encounter Jesus, empower people, and engage our city and beyond. You see, it all starts with Jesus. We encounter Jesus. He is the one who rescues us. He is the one who restores us. He is the one who brings us grace, who brings us forgiveness, puts us back together again, gives us new identity. It all begins and starts and ends with Jesus, and we always return to Jesus. But from there, we want to move, and we want to be empowered. We want to grow into Christ. We want to be empowered by the Spirit of Jesus. We want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to become his disciples, to become Christ followers. And as we're moving along that journey, we want to have a sensitive eye. We want to have an eye to the people and needs around us. We want to engage our city. We want to engage our city and beyond for the name of Jesus to make him famous. So that's our focus at Mission Creek Alliance Church. That's what we're all about, and that's what we're going to be living into in the days and years ahead. And so this morning, I want to just take one sliver of that. And I just want to look at the empower. What does that mean? What does that look like for Mission Creek? And what is that going to look like in the days going forward? Always good to start the new year off and kind of look at our focus for this for the year ahead. So at Mission Creek, we desire to see people growing in Jesus to maturity. And we use the word empower to talk about that growth, to talk about being a disciple of Jesus, living into that deep, abundant life that Jesus has for us. So this morning, I want to unpack four big ideas about empower and what that is and what that looks like. But first, I'll just open in a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we are your church. Thank you that you gather your people in the name of Jesus. Thank you that your invitation is open for everyone. We believe in the name of Jesus. Lord, would you move here this morning? Would you open our hearts to receive you? Would you open our eyes to see you more clearly, Lord? Pray over this message, Lord, that it would be your truth spoken. In your name, Jesus, amen. All right, so to kick it off, I thought I'd tell a quick story. And just imagine a younger version of myself. When I was 18 years old, I took the exciting journey and I went off to college. When I was 18, I had some pretty cool hair, and and I was only slightly better looking than I am now. And I went off to college, and it was my first time going away from home, and it was really exciting. And going to university, it's a new city, a new place. And I remember sitting in my classroom, and the professor starts to hand out a piece of paper on the first day. And I'm nervous. It's first time in university. I don't really know what's quite going on. So I asked the student beside me, I said, what's going on? What is he handing out? And the student beside me said, he's handing out the course syllabus. And I was like, the syllabus, okay, well, what's that? And it's like, the syllabus is like, it details what we're going to do this semester. It details what the expectations of the course are. It kind of talks about the required reading and the subjects the professor's going to teach about. And that's great. And then I settled into school and started going off in university, and my university career progressed from there. And this week, I was reflecting on my message a bit, and I was reflecting a bit about our walk with Jesus and how we grow to maturity. And I thought, sometimes it would be nice if we had a bit of a syllabus for our walk with Jesus, wouldn't it? Kind of detailing, here's what's expected if you're going to be a follower of Jesus. Here's just a heads up on what might happen and what it might look like. What's the expectation if you follow Jesus? And sometimes it's good to be aware of kind of what you're signing up for. And that kind of brings me to my first big idea this morning, and that's this. If you're a follower of Jesus, your end goal is to be like Jesus, and to do like Jesus. You see, when we're talking about empowering people at Mission Creek Alliance Church, what we're really talking about is being a disciple of Jesus, being like him, having character like him, doing like Jesus, obeying Jesus. This is what it means to be a disciple. You see, in the biblical accounts, the word disciple is kind of used again and again and again for people who follow Jesus. And it's interesting, when you look up the word disciple, you can kind of get a little bit of information about what does that really mean. And so when you look up the word disciple, it means apprentice, it means pupil, it means student. And so it literally means learner, someone who wants to learn something. You see, in the first century Israel, the idea of disciple, it was very common. If you wanted to learn something or about something, you would just seek someone out and say, hey, can I be your disciple? Can I be your apprentice? I'd really like to learn that skill or that trade or that information or about that. But the idea of disciple, it also went beyond just skill and information. It was also about character. And so if you're a person in the first century, you might go to someone and you want to be their disciple because you want to be like them. I think of today's application. When I was a teen and younger and maybe, maybe now the modern equivalent is maybe some guys, they want to be like Justin Bieber, or they want to be like their favorite celebrity because they look at them and they look to them and they think, they're cool. I want to be like that. Same idea. So what's on the syllabus for when you follow Jesus? Lesson number one, learning to be like Jesus. Now here's the hard part. It's going to take a lifetime. And it often requires hard circumstances. But Jesus asks us to take a posture of openness and humility because he's a good teacher. He's a kind teacher. He asks us to let us lead him, to be guided by him. Lesson number two, learn to do the things that Jesus did. And this always amazes me. Sometimes I don't believe that I could actually do what Jesus did. But Jesus says specifically in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." So Jesus is a gentleman of a teacher. He desires for us to grow into him, to be like him, to do like him. He comforts us. He shows us the way. He moves us forward. Big idea number one, Jesus is calling us, everyone who follows Jesus, to be like him, to do like him. There's no other way. Are you willing to be a student of Jesus? All right, let's move on. Another story. So one day, Jesus and his 12 disciples, his 12 apprentices, his 12 students are around with him, and Jesus says, all right, guys, let's go up to Caesarea Philippi, and they're going out to this place that's north of their hometown. It's north of the region that they were in, and they're going into a place which was a pagan place. They're going to a place which was well known for idolatry and the grossest kinds of immorality, and they're going along this place, and as they're going, Jesus is saying, okay, guys, we've been healing the sick. Disciples say, healing the sick. Okay, we've been praying for people. Yep, praying for people. Been preaching. Yep, preaching for people. Praying for people. And so as Jesus is going along this journey with him, I imagine the disciples are probably feeling a bit nervous to be out of their hometown into this area that's out of their region. And they're probably feeling, what are we doing here, Jesus? This is kind of a sketchy place. I'm not really sure. And there comes a point in this journey where Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, all right, guys, you've been following me for a while. You've been doing what I've been doing. Who do people say that I am? And the disciples, they think for a little bit, and they say, well, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say maybe you're like Jeremiah, or you're a prophet. And Jesus, he wants to push it a bit further, so he says to them, who do you say that I am? And the disciples, they think for a moment, and Peter, he's kind of the spokesman for the group, he steps forward, and he says, in this well-known statement, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus, he affirms Peter. He says, yes, you're getting it. Absolutely. This was revealed to you by my Father. And he affirms Peter. He says something very unique and specific to him. And I'm just going to open to this text in the book of Matthew in chapter 16. And let's look at what Jesus says to Peter. So Matthew chapter 16, and we'll put it up on the screen so that we can read it. So it says, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. See, there's really one key thing I want to zoom in on this text, and it's easy to miss it, but here it is. Here's my second big idea this morning, and that's this. Jesus builds the church, not us. You see, in this text, Jesus, he affirms Peter. He says, yes, Peter, I am the Messiah, and yes, Peter, your nickname is going to be Rock. It's kind of like you're the little rock, I'm the big rock, and I'm going to build my church through people like you. So my big idea is this, Jesus builds a church. So when we dig into this text, when we look at what Jesus is saying, Jesus puts huge emphasis on the word my. I will build my church. What is Jesus talking about here? You see, Jesus is speaking of building a church, not in the sense of a building, but in the sense of a gathering of his people, an assembly of his people. And he redefines the word for us to mean God's people, a gathering of God's people. It's his assembly. It's Jesus gathering his people. He is building the church, not us. So what does that mean for a minute? Let's just think about that. What does it mean that Jesus is building the church, not us? So the first thing that came to my mind is that if you call Mission Creek Alliance Church your home this morning, it means it's not your church. That's a bit interesting. The second thing I thought was, if it's Jesus' church, it means it's not the job of the staff to build the church. It's not the job of the pastor to build the church. And if there's some elders here this morning, it's not their job to build the church. Jesus said he will build the church. And here's one thing that's absolutely amazing, and it just kind of blew my mind when I was thinking about it. It's that if Jesus is bringing the people, that means that we don't get to pick who comes to church. The invitation is open. Jesus says, come to me. Jesus is building the church. Big idea. Did you get it? Jesus is building a church. So if Jesus is building a church, why are we here? Can we just go home and turn on Netflix and not worry about it and call it a day or catch the sports highlights? What's our role? What do we do? Do we just keep following Jesus? How do we do that? Let's move on from there. So, quick story. So last summer, my grandma passed away, and it's always sad when your grandma passes away. It's never, you know, a good experience. But my grandma was well in years, and she was a believer, so it was a celebration when she passed away. And when my grandma passed away, we received her last testament. We received her will. These were her final instructions to us in her absence. And so we followed through on those. We dispersed her belongings how she wished, and we followed through on that. And I think about Jesus' words to us in the book of Matthew, at the very end, chapter 28, the last words that Jesus has for us in the book of Matthew. These are Jesus' final instructions. These words hold a lot of weight. Let's put up Matthew 28 on the screen. So it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You see, Jesus declares he has the authority. Jesus' kingdom is to be built all over the earth. Therefore, he says, go, make disciples of everyone, everywhere, baptize and teach them. Here's my third big idea this morning. Our job, our calling, our role is to make disciples of Jesus. Maybe someone has never told you this before. Or maybe you're well familiar with this verse, just like I was. But maybe there's something that we kind of missed all along. And it wasn't really until I dug into this that I kind of found it. You see, Jesus, he said to his original disciples, and he says the same thing to us today, everything I've told you, everything I commanded you, everything I've shown you, make disciples. Teach them. Teach them Jesus' ideas, not our ideas. We teach Jesus' ideas, his commands. And so here's what we've missed. These verses, they're not expressed in terms of the means to go proclaim the good news, but they're expressed in terms of the goal to make disciples. And when you dig into this text, when you look at it, and when you look at a sentence, you always look at which verb is the most important. Which verb did Jesus put the emphasis on? And it's pretty easy to see when you look at the original language that the emphasis is on make disciples. And the second emphasis is on go. So what that means is that when you look at this verse, you could almost translate it in a few ways. You could say, go and make disciples, like the NIV translate it. But you could also say, as you are going, make disciples. Wherever you go, make disciples. In your home, make disciples. At your work, make disciples. Jesus is pretty clear on this. So here's a quick disclaimer. I'm not underemphasizing people who go and make disciples. Our focus is to engage our city and beyond. Our Alliance denomination, its goal is to reach the least people, to reach the least reached people groups in the world. But what Jesus is saying here in this text specifically is make disciples. You see, Jesus' last words to us, they hold a lot of weight. They're important. Just like when my grandma passed away, her last words to us. We hung on to them. We followed through. We did what Grandma asked. Big idea. Jesus' last words, they hold a lot of weight. They're important. They let us know our job, what we need to do. Make disciples. So quick recap of where we come so far. First, we're apprentices of Jesus. We're learning to be like Jesus and do like Jesus by the power of the Spirit. Second, Jesus is building the church, not us. That's not our job. And third, our job is to make disciples. So what does this look like in today's modern world? You see, the world we live in is quite different than the first century, obviously. And in the first century, it was common to have disciples and to go and be discipled and common to have this apprenticeship model. It was common to go to people and say, can I be your apprentice? So what does it look like? You see, when the Apostle Paul, back in the first century, when he decided to go and make disciples, when he took that command literally, he kind of wrestled with the same thing of how do we make disciples in these other contexts? And I want to zoom in on a clue that we have from the book of 1 Corinthians this morning. You see, the church in Corinth was in a bit of trouble, and the Apostle Paul was writing to the church like his dear children. He's trying to steer his children back on track. He was trying to redirect them. And so we're going to put it up on the screen and have a look at it. It says, the Apostle Paul says this, I am writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. And so in the Apostle Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, what he is trying to get to them is he's trying to steer them back on track. And he's writing to them in the Roman and Greek culture that they're living in. They had many guardians in the Roman and Greek culture. You see, a guardian, it was a trusted household slave. It was a trusted slave person. And that job of that slave was to bring the kids to school and, brush your teeth, flush the toilet, wash your hands, make sure you're doing those basic things, bring the kids home from school, just teach them the very basics. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying is church in Corinth, you have many, many, many people who can teach you the very basics of Christianity. But what you need is a father. But what you need is a spiritual parent to model, to show you the way of Jesus. The Apostle Paul goes and says, I have become your father in Christ. Imitate me. Do what I do. You know, when I was thinking about this, what does this look like today? What does this look like? From here, big idea number four. We learn to be like Jesus by seeing it modeled in others. The Apostle Paul says, imitate me, do what I do, follow my example, follow my lead. As I follow Jesus, follow me, follow my lead, follow my behavior. And so I was really thinking about, what does this look like in today's culture and time? And I was reflecting on, the summertime when I mow my lawn. My son, who is 5 years old, he loves to mow the lawn with me. I don't let him use the real lawnmower, but he has his own little Fisher-Price lawnmower, and I get out my 1980s Honda lawnmower, which is still running great. And as I mow the lawn, my son, he loves to follow me. He loves to do exactly what I'm doing as I mow the lawn. So as I mow my lawn, kind of going on the wall, son is following me. He's doing exactly what I do. He kind of takes one turn, turn, and follows me exactly as I mow the lawn. And I realized that this is exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying. My son, he wants to do what I do. I didn't tell him to mow the lawn. Not yet, at least, when he was a teenager. But for right now, he
He wants to do everything I do. I didn't tell him to be mowing the lawn with me. You see, my son, there's something innate about a parent and a child. My son, he wants to be dad. He wants to be like me. I don't really deserve that, but it's just innate. It's wired within us. And so the Apostle Paul, he's appealing to the people in Corinth. He's saying, I became your father. I became the one you can follow, the one you can look up to, the one you can model Christian behavior, the one you can model Christian ethics after. You see, if you consider yourself a mature Christian today, this is the model that the Apostle Paul sets for us. You see, Jesus opened his life to his 12 disciples. He invested in them. He brought them everywhere. He did everything with them. And the Apostle Paul, he carries that on, and he says, church in Corinth, I invested in you like a parent. I built into you. And so you can look to me as an example of Jesus. So Jesus sets the method. He invested in his disciples. The disciples went everywhere with Jesus. They ate with him. They went to sketchy places with Jesus. They went to the synagogue with Jesus, and they saw him in every aspect of life. And the Apostle Paul, he continues this on as the model of how discipleship happens. Here's a question. Do you have people in your life who model the Christian life? A lot of what we learn, we observe. And here's the flip side. What people are looking to you to model the Christian life? This is a hard one, even for myself. I really wrestle with this. You see, people are looking to us to model the Christian life, to see what behavior looks like. The hard reality is people at work are watching you. People in your home, your kids, they're looking to you and watching you. They're observing you. People in the workplace, people in your neighborhoods. Are you reflecting Jesus? Is that a bit scary? Here's some grace. We're not really shooting for perfection. We're not really shooting for perfect behavior. Like Brendan was saying earlier, the expectation is off us. We invite Jesus into our life. He empowers us. He works through us. He brings us to wholeness. What we're actually shooting for is authentic people. People who can be okay with their brokenness. People who can be okay with where they're at and invite people in to see it. And see how does Jesus interact with you in those hard times. My wife and I, we've made a point of inviting people into our home to kind of help with the kids or be a part of our life. And occasionally, they'll get to observe us when we're bickering or when we're fighting or things like that. And at first I had, oh man, this is terrible. I can't have that conversation. This person's here. But I realized, and this was a hard realization, that person who is observing my wife and I in hard times, when there's conflict, when there's things going on, and then this person observes when I realize that I need to go and ask for forgiveness, that person learns more about Jesus than you could ever learn in a classroom in that moment. You see, the Christian life, Jesus designed it to happen in a context of investing in people in your life, investing in believers, investing in non-believers, investing in your neighbor, living life with some transparency and some openness. This is our calling. This is the idea of we walk together on a spiritual journey. And there's a man that comes to our men's group, and he always has a saying, and he says, you know, if you're bored and you've got nothing to do, get involved in people's lives. It's an adventure. You'll never go wrong. And in those moments, you can point people to Jesus. So fourth big idea, we learn a lot by seeing Jesus modeled in others. Do you have people in your life who are modeling Jesus? to wrap things up this morning, I just want to recap my key points. To be a disciple of Jesus is to be like an apprentice of Jesus. It's to be a lifelong learner. Jesus builds his church, not us. Our job is to make disciples of Jesus. And one big way we make disciples is by investing in people and modeling how to live the Christian life. And so at Mission Creek, we empower people by investing in them. We want to make disciples in the same way Jesus did, by investing in people, by inviting people into our life, by walking together with people on the spiritual road. Maybe this week, if you were planning on fixing your car, invite someone over to hang out while you do that. If you're planning on going to get groceries this week, invite someone along and just have a conversation about life. It might take a little bit longer, but that's what Jesus did. He took his time with his disciples. Invest in your neighbor. Invite someone for dinner. Invite someone to go to the gym and spot all the newbies who want to kick off the New Year's and hit the gym. So when we talk about empower at Mission Creek Lions Church, we're talking about people growing in their life with Jesus, learning to be a disciple of Jesus, learning to invest in people and be invested in, learning to walk in community, learning to be in prayer, in teaching, and in modeling and living out the Christian life. We mean people learning how to be disciples and make disciples. So I want to invite the worship team back up. And as I close this morning, I want to just give you a quick challenge this morning. This morning, I just want to encourage you to take one step wherever you're at in your walk. And so we at Mission Creek Alliance Church, we want to do this. We want to do this spiritual parenting. We want to do this investing in people. And we do it through what we call empower groups. So this morning, if you're not involved in a group at Mission Creek Alliance Church, and you call Mission Creek Alliance Church your home, we want you to take that one step towards an empower group. Sign up for an empower group. We've got a sign-up sheet at the welcome desk. You just got to leave your name and information there. We'd be happy to find a group for you that'll fit. We want you to know that we have some new groups kicking off. We've got a group geared towards families kicking off in early 2016. We've got a group kicking off geared towards young marrieds and young adults. We have our men's ministry, our women's ministry. We have our Reframe group, which is journeying through a curriculum. So this morning, take a step towards being a disciple of Jesus. If you're not in a group, Jesus designed us to be followers together with other people in a group of community, Christ-centered community. And this morning, maybe this idea of a disciple maker or a spiritual parent has really resonated with you. Maybe there's something there. And I just encourage you, if there's something that really resonates to you about wanting to open your life to other people and you're just not sure how to go about that, maybe you're thinking I could be a mentor or something like that, but you're just not sure how to go about that, I want to encourage you just to catch me some point today or send me an email or a phone call this week. I'd love to talk more to you about that. If the Spirit is moving in your life, saying if you want to learn how to be a spiritual parent and model a Christian life, but just not sure how to go about that, I'd love to talk more about you this morning. So this morning, what is your move? Will you take a step towards Jesus? At Mission Creek, we want to take steps together to be empowered by the Spirit to be more like Jesus. Thank you.